He's a senior member of ISKCON Chowpatty. He is very well known and he's a learned person. His family is also devotee. Children, daughter, son, grandchildren, they are all devotees. And let us all welcome His Grace Brihaswanu Prabhu by loudly chanting three times.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम 18 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 12 यस्यास्ति भक्ति भगवती अकिंचन सर्वे गुणे तत्र समासते सुरा हरौ अभक्तस्य कुतो महद्गुणा मनोरथे नसति धावत बहिः. Translation: All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed of Godhead, Vasudev. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Hare Krishna. At the very outset, I would like to welcome all our guests and all the devotees who have found out time for attending this Sunday feast program, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. I am very grateful to the authorities for giving me this chance to speak on the topic of compassion, which I have chosen as the topic today. I cannot express in my words the gratitude that I feel for this golden opportunity that has been given to me. Yesterday was Nityanand Trayodashi. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are actually the personification of Karuna. In fact, Lochandas Thakur says, Param Karuna Pahuduijan Nitai Gaurachandra Sabhavatara Sabhavatara Sarashiromani Keval Anandakanda. So Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the very essence of all the incarnations. In fact, they represent the pinnacle of compassion and distribute Krishna prema. Atmosphere is filled with the mood of compassion. And I was thinking like this, that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is itself nothing but a projection of Srila Prabhupada's compassion for suffering humanity. Those who run after material things, it is his immense contribution. So compassion seemed to be an appropriate subject which appealed to me to speak on this afternoon. Very recently, one of my god brothers, His Grace Prem Pujari Prabhu, he came and gifted me a book by, what is her name, Sukhavaha Mataji, Her Grace Sukhavaha Mataji. The title of the book is Revealing the Heart, the Practice of Compassion. So I didn't have so much time to browse through the entire book, but when I went through the book, I realized that this is the topic which actually is very, very helpful for all devotees in ISKCON, Krishna consciousness. I have been recipient, in fact our family has been recipient of compassion from our spiritual master, compassion from devotee. At times I feel that my heart, you know, is becoming devoid of moisture. It is one thing to say that I am in Krishna consciousness, I am chanting the holy names. But if we do not feel compassion and love in our heart, then somewhere on the way we have lost track of the purpose for which Srila Prabhupada created this wonderful movement, ISKCON. So now we are recipients of compassion from the Supreme Lord Krishna. How compassionate is Krishna? Krishna is Sarva Karana Karanam, is the cause of all causes, and he is actually an ocean of compassion. We chant, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Karuna Sindhu, an ocean of compassion. So we have received so much from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Not only devotees, every living entity received so much from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Time was when all living entities were the servants of Krishna. They were living in Golok Vrindavan as his servants and enjoying with him. They were enjoying the bliss of service to Krishna, because a spirit soul, his only job is to serve Krishna. Jivera Swarupa hai, Krishnera Nityadas. So we, somehow or the other, we decided that we would like to enjoy separately from Krishna. That was the downfall of a living entity. And when this became apparent to the Supreme Lord, who knows everything, is the knower of everything, he did not get upset with rebellious souls like us who wanted to break away from him. Very compassionate, became very, very compassionate. He said that you want to break away? Fine. So he said, he created this material world. He created this material world in which the living entities want to enjoy themselves all the time, sense gratification. And Krishna, he actually resides in every living entity's heart as Paramatma and guides his activities. He is there in the heart of a devotee, he is also there in the heart of atheists. Krishna takes care of not just the devotees, he takes care of atheists. In fact, he takes care of 8.4 million species of life. So he is so compassionate. So he is this source of all compassion, takes care of everyone. Nobody is, you know, left out. And what is important is that Krishna compassionately accompanies us through all the species of life that we are forced to traverse because we have forgotten him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya is Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So actually Shri Krishna Chaitanya is Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, the Supreme Personality of God and Himself, Swami. And he said, Krishna Bhuli Sei Jiva Anadi Bahirmu Ata Eva Mayatare Deya Samsara Duk. Forgetting Krishna, a living entity has been attracted by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. And from time immemorial, this process is going on. And therefore, he has inherited samsara dukkha. Samsara dukkha means Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jatreshnainam. Go through the cycle. What is the cause? We chose to forget Krishna and enjoy separately from Him, and therefore we are in this material world. But yet the Lord is so compassionate. He not only is created facilities of this material world, sometimes we call it a prison house, so that we reform ourselves and go back home, back to Godhead. But He also compassionately has created such wonderful transcendental literature like the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so many scriptures. Because it's not that He wants us to suffer and rot in this material world. He's giving us a way out. You please, you know, adopt a Krishna conscious way of life. Read these scriptures and you'll certainly come back home, back to Godhead. Not that He wants to kick us away because we were rebellious. So He's the cause of all causes. So everything begins with Him. So now, Srimati Radharani, she is actually the tender heart. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she is the female counterpart. And how merciful is Srimati Radharani? So there is a pastime in Braj Bhumi. Once it so happened that there were some village boys, urchins, they were chasing a fox. With sticks and stones, and they were really tormenting the fox. And then the fox was running. And then eventually the fox found itself in a foxhole. There was a hole, and the fox, you know, entered that to save itself. But children can be very cruel at times. What did they do? They close the escape route for the fox by lighting, you know, fire around the opening. Now the fox was actually wailing in pain, so wanted to escape, but there was no way it could escape. Now hearing the piteous cries of this fox, Srimati Radharani, who is personification of compassion, she sent Lalita Sakhi. She sent Lalita Sakhi and said that, "You please take care of that fox." So Lalita Sakhi, she came to that and she drove away all the children who were harassing the fox, and then she very, you know, tenderly lifted the fox, Radharani. Now, when Srimati Radharani saw the fox, she touched the fox, you know, transcendental touch, Srimati Radharani, and the fox, you know, attained a spiritual form. So, Srimati Radharani is really the personification of compassion. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, during one of his lectures, he mentioned that the fox, you know, actually represents living entities like us who are suffering in this material world. Bhagavad Gita says, "This is dukkhalayam ashashvatam." So we have to suffer. One who is born in this material world has to go through suffering. And fox represents suffering entities like us. And then Lalita Sakhi, she represents the spiritual master who saves the living entities. He says that enough is enough in this material world. Come back to the spiritual world. That's the spiritual master. Every day morning we chant Guru Ashtaka, Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakur. Samsara dava nala lida loka, tranaya karunya ghana ganatpam, praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya, vande guru shri charanaravindam. So prayer we chant. is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. And just as a cloud bursts, a cloud pours water also, the spiritual master delivers a materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my prostrated obeisances to such a spiritual master, to the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master who comes in parampara, can most certainly save the living entities, and he's compassionate. A spiritual master is most compassionate, and he wants to save us from this. Now, the pure devotees of the Lord, they inherit the compassion of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. They inherit that compassion, and they are not just satisfied, you know, making spiritual progress. They want to show that compassion. They want to give that compassion to all the suffering souls. And we have so many examples from the scriptures which are very, very inspiring. Very, very inspiring. So we'll take, there are many, but we'll take a few examples which indicate how pure devotees of the Lord who have actually risen to the topmost platform of spiritual progress, but they still feel, you know, compassion for suffering people of the 5-year-old Prahlad Maharaj. How compassionate was Prahlad Maharaj? Now, as all of us know, and don't go into details, by his father Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad Maharaj, he simply said one thing to his father. He was most loving towards his father, very obedient, carried out all the instructions of Hiranyakashipu. But he said just one thing. He said that, "You please worship Vishnu." And that was enough for Hiranyakashipu. He started torturing. There is a full canto on this. I don't want to go into details. He started torturing Prahlad Maharaj. All kinds of torture, unimaginable torture on his own son, throwing him from top of the mountain, you know, putting him to be, you know, for under the feet of elephant, mad elephants, putting him in, you know, burning fire, and so many problems. But through all that, Prahlad Maharaj, because of his total surrender to the Supreme Lord, he was saved by the Lord. Now, Prahlad Maharaj did not send an SMS, you know, to Vishnu, "You know, I am suffering so much, please save me from this torture." It just, the Lord was there forever, and he was saved. Now, why did actually Narasimha Dev appear? Just now, this prayer was beautifully sung by Runi Nandan Prabhu. It says that Prahlada Lada, he appears not only to kill Hiranyakashipu, but also to give joy. Prahlada Lada Daine, to give joy to. Long story, eventually when Hiranyakashipu was killed, Narasimha Dev became very, very pleased with this 5-year-old boy. And he said that, "Please ask for some benediction. I'm so happy with you, very pleased with you, extremely pleased. Ask whatever you like." In fact, it is described that when Narasimha Dev's mood was so ferocious that nobody dared to approach him, including Lakshmi Devi, his wife. Nobody dared to approach him. But Prahlad Maharaj, fearless, he just, you know, went and garlanded Narasimha Dev. And then Narasimha Dev said that, "My dear child, I am so happy with you. Why don't you ask for some benediction? And what do you think? was the benediction that Prahlad Maharaj asked. He said, I won't go into the verse, he said that, "Oh Lord, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in the thought of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals, you know, Vimuda, who are making elaborate plans for material happiness." He said that, I don't mind staying on this planet Earth, so long, you know, I can help the materialistically inclined people. So that was the compassion of Prabhupada. He didn't say, give me heavenly planet, give me this, give me that. He said that, please, O Lord, I bring. That's real compassion. And then he asked one more benediction. He said to Narasingadev, he said that, I want to ask one favor of you, one blessing of you, and that is for my father. My father, obviously, when he has been killed by you, he has obviously been purified, but still, I feel that my father actually provoked you and insulted you, used, you know, all kinds of language on you. So I beg of you to please, you know, forgive him. Forgive him. The person who tried to murder him by different technologies said that, please forgive, forgive him. And then Narasimhadev promised to him that, yes, certainly your father has been saved. In fact, 21 generations have been saved. So this is how a pure devotee of the Lord shows his compassion to even those people who have been aggressively tormenting him. That was Prahlad Maharaj. So this is one example. Then we have the well-known example of Srila Haridas Thakur. We actually say he is Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So Haridas, a devotee, that because he was born in a Mohammedan family, but took to the process of chanting of Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. He was hated. He was hated by some so-called pure Brahmins, and he was also hated by the Muslims. Anyway, the local authorities, they captured Haridas Thakur. He was bound, you know, in ropes. And then he was taken to 22 marketplaces and beaten black and blue. It is said that even if a person is beaten once or twice in two marketplaces, that's the end of him. Here, Haridas Thakur was beaten at 22 marketplaces, and finally, those who were persecuting him, they became absolutely helpless. They said that they virtually appealed to Haridas Thakur. He said that, we have been hired, you know, for persecuting you, and nothing seems to happen to you. You are chanting the holy names, you are active. So now this is the end of the road for us. If you don't die, then we will be killed by the ruler. So compassionately, Haridas Thakur, he said, if is this the case, then I will die. So immediately, you know, he gave up his consciousness. Actually, he was not dead, but he said that, I'll die, there was nothing. And his guards who were torturing him, they felt relieved. Now we can go and report to our ruler that, you know, Haridas Thakur is dead. They just bound him and just threw him. Came back to consciousness after some time. But the most important thing in this is that when Haridas Thakur was being beaten at the 22 marketplaces, he was actually praying for the welfare of those who were beating him. Now, this is actually the quintessence of, you know, compassion. He was praying for them. His compassion was not just, you know, allowing the guards to be free of anxiety of killing him, but he was praying for them. So this is compassion. Then we have another very, very well-known example from the Bible, Jesus Christ, who was actually nailed to a cross. They were very, very, you know, people were wanting him to die on the cross. And what was the compassion of Jesus Christ? He said, he appealed to the Father in the heaven. He said that, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So he was actually, Jesus Christ was actually asking for forgiveness for those who were killing him, trying to kill him. Now this is a wonderful example of, you know, compassion. And then we come to Parikshit Maharaj. Now Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. Cursed to die because of some offense that was perceived as an offense by Sringi, immature boy. His father Shamikrishit, he was cursed to die in 7 days. And how did Parikshit Maharaj utilize those 7 days? Srila Shukadev Goswami happened to come to that place, and he, Parikshit Maharaj, surrendered to Shukadev Goswami, and he said that, "Please let me know what should be the duty of a person who is about to die." And then, as a result of that, Srila Shukadev Goswami narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam in 7 days. Now, cursed to die in 7 days, Parikshit Maharaj could have found some easy way out. He was a pure devotee. He could have counter-cursed Sringi. He could have done many things. But he totally surrendered to Shukadev Goswami. And he said that, "You please narrate the path by which all living entities in this material world can be liberated." So Shukadev Goswami, during the course of his narration, come to the 5th canto, in which he described that those who commit sinful activities, they have to go to hellish planets, and there they suffer. They have to undergo a lot of suffering. Now Parikshit Maharaj, his heart melted when he heard the description of hellish planets there. So he said, "Aduna iha mahabhaga yathaiva narakan naraha nana ugrayatanatna iyat." He requested Shukadev Goswami. He said that, "Oh, greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadev Maharaj, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from entering hellish planets." So Parikshit Maharaj was not thinking, you know, of his impending, you know, departure from the material world. So in that phase, where normally what happens if somebody, you know, is on the threshold of death, he plans for all material things, you know, he'll worry about his insurance policy, bank account, and, you know, so many things he'll worry about. But it's only a pure-hearted, pure devotee who is compassionate. He's asking that, "Please, there must be some way in which these suffering living entities, they can be freed from their anxiety. There must be some way in which they need not go to the hellish planet for suffering." So this is the compassion of a pure devotee of the Lord. And at that point in time, Shukdev Goswami, through several chapters, describes, you know, karma kanda vidhi and, you know, jnana kanda vidhi. But Shukdev Goswami is a pure devotee. He could perceive that whatever he was telling Parikshit Maharaj, actually, Shukdev Goswami, in one shloka, he says, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya na niharam iva bhaskaraha. So, Shukdev Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj that all these living entities who have committed, you know, so many sins and have to suffer for their sinful reactions, they, if they simply take up to the process of devotional service to Vasudeva, they become Vasudeva Parayanaha, then Agham Dhunvanti. Then, because of their unalloyed devotional service, they will be free from all the sinful activities which they have committed. Just as Niharam Iva Bhaskaraha. So when there is fog, I know how many of you have experienced fog. I remember some years, because not this Kumbh Mela, but one Kumbh Mela which I had attended. And in the morning, there would be deity worship. Deities would be, you know, worship. And when we came, when we would come out of the tent, we couldn't see anything. Not even our own hands, nothing. So much fog there. And then, after some time, slowly the sun's rays would percolate, you know, they come down. And as soon as the sun rays would come, the fog, you know, would just disappear. So it is Niharam, completely eliminate the fog, and then, you know, Mangalarti would take place. So similarly here, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is stating that by taking to the process, you know, sinful reactions. Now, the compassion of the pure devotees of the Lord cannot be actually estimated. We have a beautiful example of Ramanujacharya, Sri Ramanujacharya, who is from the Sri Sampradaya. Now, Ramanujacharya, though he was on a very exalted platform, he still took instructions from several Shiksha Gurus, in fact, 5 Shiksha Gurus, and one of them was Mahapradnya. So, it once so happened that Mahapradnya told him that you better, you know, receive instructions on the Vyapaka Mantra, which is there in their Sri Sampradaya. You better take instructions on that. And at that time, Mahapradnya, he told Ramanujacharya, he said that you better take these instructions from Goshtipurna, who is actually was a god brother of Mahapurna. What is it? You take instructions from him. So immediately Ramanujacharya set out, totally surrendered, set out, and this, which was 100 kilometers from Sri Rangam, in a place called Tirukottiyur. Some of us have visited that place in the last South Indian Yatra. He walked the hard way, he walked, and then he went, and when he went and he saw that the door of, you know, Goshtipurna was locked, it was closed. So he knocked. So Goshtipurna did not open the door. He said that, who is it? He said, who is it? So Ramanujacharya said, it is I, Ramanuja. Goshtipurna did not open the door. No, he said, that you come when I has died. Now this cryptic, you know, reply from Goshtipurna was very confusing for Ramanujacharya. So he came back, again 100 miles, walked back, came to his Shiksha Guru, and he said that, what was the response of Goshtipurna? Did he tell you something about the Vyapaka Mantra? Said, no, in fact, I was not even admitted into the house, just asked to go back. Then Mahapurna said that, don't worry, you persist. You have to have patience. Utsahat nishchayat dhairyat. You know, you have to go. So go again. So he went. He went once, twice, thrice. And every time the response was, who is it? And it would say, Goshtipurna would ask him to go back. Not thinking that, you know, he's traversed 100 miles and has to traverse another 100 miles. But Ramanujacharya immediately, you know, would come back. And this way he went 17 times, and 17 times he got the same response from Goshtipurna. Now when he went for the 18th time, so this time Goshtipurna asked him, who is it? At that time Ramanujacharya did not say, it is I. He said, it's a humble servant of yours who has come in. So Goshtipurna immediately opened the door. So it is described that Goshtipurna took this attitude because he wanted to eliminate aham bhava, I, you know. When I has died, you know, when that aham bhava has died. So that is the way Goshtipurna looked at it. And then he opened the door, and seeing Ramanujacharya, he became so happy. He embraced him, and Ramanujacharya offered his obeisances to Goshtipurna. And then he said that, why have you come? He said that, I have been sent to learn the real meaning, esoteric meaning of the mantra, you know, Vyapak mantra, which is so important in our sampradaya. So at that time, Goshtipurna said that, but I must tell you one thing. I will definitely explain the esoteric meaning of all these Vyapak mantra, but I must tell you one thing, that you should never ever reverse this mantra, you know, this esoteric meaning that I'll be giving you. This is capable of, you know, taking everyone to the liberated platform. People will get emancipated when they chant, you are not going to reveal this, because you'll get, you know, all these suffering entities, their suffering will be completely eliminated. So you must not give it to anybody. This is a promise which you have to give. So Ramanujacharya immediately agreed. He offered his obeisances, and then Goshtipurna explained to him the esoteric meaning of the Vyapak mantra. And Ramanujacharya became very, very thrilled. Very thrilled. He offered him obeisances, and then he came down. Just next to Goshtipurna's residence, there was a temple. Many of us have visited the temple also. So he climbed. Ramanujacharya climbed that temple. He went to the, you know, Gopur. And after having gone to the Gopur, he screamed at the top of his voice. He said, people who have gathered here, please, I want to reveal to you the truths that I have learned from Goshtipurna. Just come. You want to be on the liberated platform? Just come and hear me. So there was a huge crowd. Ramanujacharya was a well-respected personality. So when he went there and made this announcement, there was a huge congregation. And Ramanujacharya revealed whatever he had just heard. Like they say, oven hot, you know, cakes, like that. Just heard. Done that, Ramanujacharya became happy. The people became happy, they dispersed. And when he came down, who do you think was facing him? Goshtipurna, very angry. He said, what is this? You just promised me, you know, that you are not going to reveal the secret and you have done it immediately? What is this? You know what is the consequence of this? You will go to hell. You will go to hellish planets and you will suffer there. Do you know this is going to happen to you? Ramanujacharya said that. He said that you mentioned that, you know, by understanding the significance and esoteric meaning of the mantras, that living entities can be emancipated. And since, you know, this has come from your lotus mouth, it must be 100% truth. Now, I wanted that all the suffering people here, let them know this secret. He said, after all, what does it matter if, you know, one person like me goes to hell, but on the other hand, thousands of people, you know, get emancipated. When Goshtipurna heard this compassionate, remark from Ramanujacharya, he immediately paid prostrated obeisances to Ramanujacharya. He said that your compassion for suffering individuals knows no bounds. I salute you for your compassion, because you are not very much. This is one very beautiful instance that is there in and then there is another. How long can I go on? I can. Okay. Anyway, so then there's a beautiful example from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Leela. And he had a wonderful exalted devotee called Vasudev Dutt. So one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what used to happen was every year devotees from Bengal, they would visit Jagannath Puri. You know, they would stay there for 4 months and attend the Ratha Yatra, and then again, because they just could not live separately from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they would travel, you know, back to Bengal after spending some months in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. Such an exalted, devotees. So what happened was that as they were about to leave Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to each and every devotee from Bengal, and he glorified his devotees, and after that, one by one, he met everyone, gave joy to everyone, he embraced them, gave joy to everyone, and then he came to Vasudev Dutt. So he began to glorify him. It is mentioned that Vasudev Dutt was glorified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as though he had 1,000 mouths. Such was the joy he was experiencing in glorifying Vasudev Dutt, very exalted devotee. So he said that, made an appeal. He said that, oh Lord, you are so kind, you are so compassionate. I want to make a petition. I want to make a petition to you. Any petition? So then Vasudev Dutt, he said, oh Lord, you are the most powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are very, very compassionate. I see that there are innumerable living entities in this material world who commit so many sinful activities, because of which they will suffer, they will have to go to hellish planets. I beg of you to transfer their sinful, activities onto my head, so that I will suffer the consequences of their sinful activities, and this way they will be liberated. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he, in a quivering voice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said that, please, this is not an ordinary living entity. You are concerned for the welfare of all the suffering people, and this you are saying because you are an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Said that you are an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, and your heart is so soft that you want to suffer for the sinful activities of others. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that, why do you have to suffer? Noble decision, noble thought, you don't have to suffer. And then thereafter, he said that if one mustard seed of mustard seeds, who will take note of that loss? It is insignificant. Similarly, there are unlimited number of universes. So one universe becomes empty because of living entities getting liberated. What does it matter? It's not significant. So this is the compassion of Vasudev Dutt. Then one more example that I would like to cite is of, and rather conclude, that is with Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Honoring the words of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada left India and he went to the Ugra city of New York to preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to the suffering people in America. And when this happened, after he reached there, so this particular noble desire of Srila Prabhupada is something that we simply cannot appreciate, because Prabhupada was always, so he spent time in the United States, converted hippies into happy Vaishnavas. He freed them of all contempt movement. His disciples helped him to build temples. Prabhupada created such wonderful transcendental literature. Because of that transcendental literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so many other, Chaitanya Charitamrut, so many books, that today the human beings or those who have come under the umbrella of ISKCON, they are benefiting and they are advancing spiritually. So one can speak on Srila Prabhupada's contribution is for whole day, and yet you would not be doing justice to his compassion. Finally, I would like to conclude with one particular story. So this is from the book of Her Grace Sukhavah Mataji, that is in her book. And in her book, because what happens is that we feel inspired by hearing, stories from the scriptures. But being in Krishna consciousness, what is it that we should learn? What should be our own attitude? That's a very important question which needs to be answered. And Her Grace Sukhavah Mataji, she has dealt with some of the aspects of this particular practical. So, she in her book talks about what is compassion. She says that a balm of love in action from one living being to another living being, and from oneself to oneself. So it's like a balm of love. And how does one acquire this balm of love? We are in Krishna consciousness, we are chanting, we are doing so many things. But how does one acquire this balm of love? So I found that section very, very appealing and interesting. Because Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, very frequently say that to make progress in Krishna consciousness, what three qualities we have to have? One has to be sincere, one has to be serious, and one should have no ulterior motives. Now, a clean heart is what attracts compassion. So in this regard, she narrates a story, and I'll conclude with that. So this is the story which she calls as Empty Pot. So it so happened that there was a king called Dharma. I'm narrating from the book. So this Dharma was a very, very pious and very righteous king, and all his subjects were very, very happy with him, because you know he was following all the bestowing his kingdom. But it so happened that he was getting older day by day, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. So he was enveloped by old. Unfortunately for him, he had no children, and he did not know what to do. He was worried, his ministers were worried, his subjects were worried. What will happen to us? We are being taken care of so nicely, but now what will happen to us in future? So then the king said that, you know, I'll find a solution. He said that I'll actually choose a successor from amongst the subjects. So he said that then after some time, he asked people to go away and call. He called them on a particular day, on an appointed day. And he said that he gave everyone seeds. And he said that with these seeds, you can come back, report back to me with flowers and everything else, colorful flowers and beautiful flowers. You come back to me. So all the people were given seeds. They were asked to go and come back in a stipulated time, some few weeks' time. And after that, one fine day, all those people reassembled, and the royal pavilion, you know, was filled, you know, with countless number of people with, you know, pots. And each pot, there were beautiful, colorful, fragrant flowers. Everyone wanted to, you know, please king. Everyone came. He came and sat on the royal throne. And he said to the ministers, now please let me know what all type of varieties of flowers. People gave a commentary, running commentary. He said that so many colorful flowers have been brought. Such aroma is there. The whole place is filled with scents. So after that, the king went round everywhere, and as he was going round, seeing different flowers, different, you know, arrangements, he went round, he would pass some comment, oh, such a nice flower, such a beautiful color. And after that, he came back to the royal throne and he sat there. Then he got up from the royal throne and he said that when I went round, I saw that there was one empty pot. All other pots, you know, were filled with flowers, but there was one empty pot. So will the man who came to this meeting with an empty pot please identify himself and come here to the stage? So that man came. His name was Kishore, as the book says. He came back with that empty pot, and with that empty pot, he was feeling very embarrassed, ashamed, in fact. And as we were going towards the king, everybody was passing, cracking jokes. look, look, what has he brought, you know. But then he nevertheless, he came there. And then the king made an announcement. He said that, I have found my successor. Everybody was puzzled. Everybody was, you know, mystified. He said that, how? How can this happen? And then the king gave an explanation. He said that distributed seeds which were all roasted. So there was no expectation that any plant, you know, will grow or any flower will come out of it. And I wanted to see who in my, you know, kingdom is a man of integrity, who is not showy, who is honest, and who can come and declare that I have was not able to grow any plant or any flower. I said, I have found this man, Kishore. His, you know, pot has only soil. There are no flower and nothing. He said that any person who has the courage and the integrity to admit that he has not been able to grow flower and announce to the world that, you know, I am unsuccessful, said, this is the person who would be my, you know, successor. So from this we can learn very many lessons, but I will not take much time. But one of the lessons that we can learn is that we in Krishna consciousness, many of us are endowed with different abilities, but none of us need the showy. None of us need, you know, to put on a garb just, you know, to please the spiritual master. Very many times we have the instinct, you know, to go ahead, you know, and push. Not necessary. Krishna, you know, is the ultimate authority and he can decide. So simplicity, straightforward approach to please the spiritual master and to please Srila Prabhupada is what is required. I certainly hope that I have learned something from this story. I don't know whether others will appreciate it or not. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.